an NITV radio podcast. For the full program, visit sbs.com.au/NITV radio.
Hello and welcome back to NITV Radio. I'm pretty excited to talk to my next guest. Filmmaker, academic and musician Grant Saunders was struggling with his identity. As a fair-skinned, middle-aged Aboriginal man, he's getting old now, peeps, with a Norwegian wife and two young children, Grant felt disconnected from both his country and his family, having spent over 20 years away from his home of Taree. Grant spent years bottling up hurt and anger from experience overt racism. Filmed over a decade, Teach Amanda Fish finds Grant dissecting his Aboriginal identity as well as exploring the cultural identity of his children. He faces the dilemma of figuring out how he'll instill pride and understanding in his kids of his Biripi culture, community and country, while also acknowledging both his mother's and wife's cultural heritage. Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome Grant Saunders.
Hey, Goji Igu, which is Gatang language, my family's language, Biripi people. Means greetings, and yeah, just want to extend that to all the mob out there. Yeah, thanks for having me.
This documentary has done so well, and I think it resonates with a lot of people here on the East Coast, particularly as we sort of continue to search for our true identity and going back to culture and country. I've known you for a while now, and I guess I never knew back in the day that you're sort of going through all of this, you know. So what was the tipping point for you to say, you know what, I'm sick of this city, I need to get back home to country, and I need to reconnect?
Yeah, it's my kids, really. They were the calling card for me. Like, at their school where we were living in Newcastle, after spending many, many years in Sydney, for the last 5 years, the kids were going to school in Newcastle, and it come to this point where the principal introduced this initiative, which was great. It was called Who's Your Mob? And they were videoing all the Koori kids in the school, like asking them that simple question, who's your mob? And my kids, you know, who know who their mob is, but that's where it really stops. You know, there's not that much more than that, apart from, you know, other bits and pieces. So I wanted to really get them connected to their country, you know, that I grew up with. You know, I left the area 20 odd years ago. And so it's not just about me reconnecting, it's about building a connection for them as well.
That's it's a really interesting sort of decision that you made, and I admire it. I'd love to be able to pack up and just head back to Moree and, you know, live back there with my family and all that, but, you know, I don't know why I don't do it.
yeah. No, I think we all do. I think we all get disconnected through different ways, and one of those is through actual dislocation from country, you know, to be dislocated hours and hours away from your country. I think it does have a big effect on you. And I've really noticed the change just in, I guess, my comfortability with my community again, like feeling familiar again. You know, when I left the area, that was the thing that I was trying to escape. I was sick of the familiarity, you know. In a small town, you're just like, everyone knows your business and everyone, you know, knows what you're up to and stuff. And I just wanted to get out of there. There are other reasons, but that's the sort of thing that I'm yearning for again. You know?
And so, you know, you Biripi mob are saltwater people. You love your fishing. Tell us about the journey of Teach Amanda Fish and why fishing.
Yeah. My grandfather started this fishing business, this family trade, way back in the early 60s. I mean, he was fishing on trawlers out at sea even before that in the 50s. And so he set up this Aboriginal, independent, owned and operated fishing business back in a time, you know, before the referendum, before a lot of
freedoms. Yeah, it would have been difficult days for our mob back then.
Definitely. Yeah. I mean, people were, you know, getting jobs fruit picking and, you know, seasonal work, railway, you know, building bridges and stuff like that.
Yep.
So for an Aboriginal person to, you know, establish a business was pretty rare. And that happened also at a time when my grandfather was standing up for human rights for Aboriginal people on Purfleet.
Yep.
So he was wanting better housing conditions for people, because he had that opportunity to work as a builder's labourer on the first housing commission homes in Taree for poor whites. And so he got to see firsthand the stark contrast between the living conditions that white, poor white fellas were having and to what Aboriginal people were experiencing on the mission. So on the mission, they didn't have electricity, they didn't have water, they were just, you know, it was... And they were paying rent. They were paying rent. And grandfather, as a form of protest, refused to pay rent. And so what the welfare board wanted to do was make an example of him, and so they wanted to evict him from the mission for refusing to pay rent. Now, it's a long story that we've jammed into this film, but I just wanted to say that that was fishing was the thing, was the survival mechanism for grandfather. So when they were turfed off the mission, you know, they were forced to integrate into white society for the first time. You know, they grew up on an Aboriginal reserve in segregation and then forcefully removed, like a whole family. We hear the tragedy of, like, stolen generation members, but we don't hear those stories about whole families who were removed from their communities.
Just picked up and...
Yeah.
Bam,
yeah.
There you go.
Yeah.
You know, square peg into a round hole, basically.
That's it. Yeah.
Tell us about the journey of you and your father and what it's like making a film with your father and having these, you know, pretty deep conversations. And what's it done for your relationship?
Oh, look, it's funny. It's funny. Like, Dad is not one, and people of that era, like men of his era, you know, they don't pat you on the back and say, oh, well, you've done a great job, son.
tough old buggers.
Yeah, I'm just so proud of you and everything. No, they don't do that. It's like silent sort of, you know. You're done all right, boy. But, yeah, no, we've been stuck in a boat together for hours on end, and, you know, I'm having to pull in, you know, literally kilometres of rope to haul in prawns and fish and that sort of thing with him. And I think he got a respect for me, knowing that I could deal with physical labour, that I could actually, you know, I could mix it with the rest of them.
The city boy can handle it.
Yeah, exactly, exactly. And I think also he got an appreciation of my vocation as a filmmaker, you know, that after this film was made, then he could see the value in what I've chosen as a career path. You know, he could see, you know, this magic film that's been made up on the big screen and be in the audience with all these people who are just laughing, crying, you know, just transfixed to the story and asking questions, the Q&As. Like, he's been up on stage with me answering all these questions, and he's got a platform finally to voice his concerns, which is another thing about this film. It deals with the politics of the fishing industry, the things that have been impacting on my father's business, which is government intervention and reforms to the industry. So he's had a platform, and so he sees that value as well. So it has brought us to closer together and mutual respect for one another, yeah.
Yeah, that's beautiful to hear. You know, we need more of that, especially amongst our men, you know, in our relationship to our fathers and grandfathers and brothers. So that's really beautiful to hear.
Definitely.
What's it like as a filmmaker being able to take a beautiful film like this back to your local community and have a screening for your local community?
Yeah.
I'm getting goosebumps just thinking about it, because that must be one of the most beautiful and comforting things you can do as an Aboriginal filmmaker and proud Biripi filmmaker.
It is.
To put it out there for your local community to sit there and watch on the big screen.
Yeah. Well, look, it's a huge responsibility to tell your family's history. And also talk about, you know, the history of Purfleet. So there was this pressure, this feeling of responsibility to get the story right, you know. And once I screened that film for my community and to have the response that it got, we had 460 people in the local entertainment centre, and they all got to their feet. And this is black fellas and white fellas, and they were applauding for Like, it felt like forever. It was amazing, you know. And I felt relief, instant relief, because I knew now that I'd done the right thing, that this film had got the blessings of my community, and now I can go wherever it wants and I can just feel comfortable that my community are proud and have owned that, you know, that's theirs.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's really special.
You put them on the map, so to speak.
That's him. You know? That's him.
Okay, we're running out of time, but my last question is for you is, what do you want, Mob? White fellas, black, white, yellow, doesn't matter. They watch this film. What's the one thing that you want the audience, that person out there, take away from the film to learn something?
Yeah. It's a hard thing to whittle it down to one thing, because it deals with so many different layers. Mm-hmm. You know, with Aboriginal storytelling, it's not a simple narrative. We talk about narrative therapy, don't we? We talk about, you know, digressing and going through the whole picture, looking at all the different factors that play into someone's journey, someone's personal problems. But I would say this film is what's known as trauma cinema. It deals with one man's personal trauma. And what it is bringing the audience in to understand what it's like from first person point of view. So people will get to understand what it's like for a fair-skinned Aboriginal man like myself to have to put up with the racism that I have over my childhood years, right through to present day, on all the different levels. And so I think what the audience will get from this is they'll really understand what it's like.
Yeah. Well, Bruce, thanks for coming in today and having a yarn with me. I really appreciate it. I can't wait to watch this film. Teach Amanda Fish is a Jots production and Sonic Nomad film commissioned by NITV with funding from Create New South Wales and developed with the support from Screen Australia's Indigenous Unit. And you can watch Teach Amanda Fish on NITV, that's Channel 34, on Sunday the 28th of October at 8:30 p.m. Make sure you tune in. Thanks, Grant Saunders.
Marungbu, thank you, brother. Bingai.
This was an NITV radio podcast. For more, visit sbs.com.au/NITV radio or download the SBS radio app.